In my mind, Zach Wilson already beat Utah. He owned him for almost that whole game, and BYU would have won if it weren't for those injuries at the end. Zach and BYU, they're going to get it done next week.
That's Edwin checking in right there.
Ed win, but will BYU win?
At the end.
At the end. I was going to say, add that in there.
Both of yous. Both of yous are clever. I've always said that.
Following your genius.
Well, when you're a revolutionary, I mean, come on.
I lost my last tenuous hold on sanity. RK Davidson 13 tweets in, I just started singing The Doors with at PK Kinahan. I'm not sure how DJ has not done this as well.
Took a look around, say which way the wind blow. Are you a lucky little lady in a city of lies? Or just another lost angel? City of night! City of night! Woo! Yeah. Greatest rock and roll tune of all time.
Adding that to the greatest hits in there, Yuck. Had that handy. He's going to work on it.
Greatest rock and roll tune of all time.
No.
Yes.
That's not what we're talking about in this segment.
Irregardless. You judge quarterbacks by wins. You can ask, is it fair? Well, it doesn't matter if it's fair. It's still done. That's the way it is to go, Walter. And the next one who wins for the Cougars is going to be hailed as a hero.
Fact.
Much and as that's Scott, the way it is.
Scott Mitchell and Randy Gomez.
I don't know who Randy Gomez is. But
well, he was immortalized on Twitter later today, earlier
backstop
today.
Backstop for the Phoenix Giants. I probably saw him play.
He probably did. And you didn't know. But he snapped the youth six-game losing streak.
Exactly.
1978.
Yeah. I've probably seen him play baseball. So if Zach gets it done, automatically, he just ratchets up the Pantheon.
Sweet!
And so you look at, what's Max Hall's best win? Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I sing rock and roll, you sing show tunes. I mean, nothing more needs to be said there?
Probably not.
Definitely not. So.
Absolutely not. I'll update you.
All right, you win.
Thank you.
I'll let you win for once.
Thanks, coach.
So you have this opportunity for these landmark wins. I mean, you're not going to get much credit for beating Liberty. It's just not happening.
I remember the time.
But if you should pull this upset, you'll practically be carried off, if not literally carried off the field. And Huntley, what is Huntley's signature win? You were researching this furiously.
We were looking at this during the break. His sophomore year, he beat North Dakota, BYU, San Jose State, and Arizona. He was out of the Arizona game, though.
He played in the start, and early. He got hurt right before the half, if memory serves. And Troy Williams came in and finished him off.
Later in the year when he came back, they lost. They had a bad stretch there. They lost 4 out of 5. He beat UCLA. That team was a 6-7 team.
I think that was without Josh Rosen.
West Virginia in the bowl game. Without their starting quarterback.
Right. And, I mean, the 8,000 fans of that game, they'll remember that for their lives.
Last year, his best win would be Stanford.
He was sensational in that game. It was something like, what, 15 to 18 or something? Something really impressive. That's definitely his best game to date.
17 of 21 for 199 yards.
Yeah. The efficiency was just incredible. He had it going on big time. If he plays like that, they're going to win 10 games. You can bank that.
Beat USC last year, but then USC ended up having a losing record.
They're 5-7. So you beat a name program, but you didn't beat a good team. So he needs some more signature wins. We always point to October. We always overlook September. He was great. Then October, October, October. What about September, huh?
Well, it's sick. He beat Weber, beat Northern Illinois, lost to Washington, lost to WSU.
Yeah. And Washington, the offense was pathetic.
They were 6-2 going into Arizona State, and he got hurt in that game. They were behind, so you can give him that loss or not, I guess, depending on how you feel, because he got knocked out early third quarter, but they were down.
Yeah, yeah.
In trouble.
Yeah. You know, who knows what would have happened. Defense was struggling that game. He would have had to have really been super to win that ball game. So he needs some more wins. I mean, beating your best win is a 7-5 Stanford team. That's okay. But there's much to be accomplished. I mean, that's why I don't think this is a product at quarterback for the Utes that I can say, yep, I can count on that every game, man. He's just going to be all that. He's good to go. He's Alex Smith. He's John Beck. I don't know that. There's not much of a track record that would indicate that.
Well, the first thing the track record indicates is he needs to stay healthy. I mean, there aren't a lot of starts. He started for 2 years, but he's basically started a little more than one season's worth of games. Mm-hmm. And that's because of three separate injuries over 2 years.
Sure.
So the first thing is, you know, the first ability is availability.
But that,
gotta be out
that
there.
Applies for everyone. That's nothing new. And the best player injured is not the best player.
And we'll upgrade Stanford. That was not a 7-5 team last year. They finished 9-4.
Stanford? Last year finished 9-4?
That's what I'm looking at. Washington State. I'm looking at it right now. Washington State was 11-2. Washington was 10-4. Stanford's 9-4, and so is Oregon.
Okay.
So Shelley's got to win over a 9-win team. Yep, Utes are in first place. I'm looking at the right year.
Yeah, I don't really go by bowl.
Well, then 8-4.
Bowl wins don't really jump out at me. Unless they're big, if it's an important bowl. Just like bowl losses. In my mind, I know the Utes lost the Holiday Bowl, but it just doesn't matter. I don't care. It had no reflection, good or bad or indifferent, on their season.
Remember that time they beat Tulsa in Fort Worth?
No.
That was a big game.
No. The way the bowls are now, there's a few that are big, and certainly the Rose Bowl would be gigantic.
You got to go to year to year. I mean, the Vegas Bowl, when it's BYU and Utah, that felt different than when it was Utah and CSU.
Yeah, maybe locally here. Not to anybody else, though. Whereas if you're winning the Rose Bowl, you can claim that, and that has some stature around the country. We won the Rose Bowl, and then obviously the playoff, and then a couple of these other New Year's Six bowls if you want to. That's fine. But the rest of them, yeah. I know it counts as a loss, but I just don't think it put a blemish on Utah's season whatsoever.
Well, because they won the Pac-12 South for the first time, it didn't. In another year, maybe it would, but it didn't in that one.
I mean, you could be in the Holiday Bowl without winning the South.
Right, but I think when people look back at that year, the first thing they remember isn't who they beat or what the record was. They remember they were in the Pac-12 title game for the first time.
Fine.
And they were really happy to be there. It felt like an accomplishment.
Great, but even if they weren't, I just don't think bowl games, with the exception of a couple, put just a cherry on top or a big blemish on your season. They're another game. Go down there, have some fun, get some swag, as they say, and be on your way. If you win, great, and you can celebrate. But if you lose, so what? It has no bearing on anything. It didn't ruin the season by any stretch, with or without finishing first in the South. But I think Huntley needs some more. He needs some more signature wins. And the great thing about it is there are opportunities right there like never before. Because even if you beat a 7-5 team, 8-4 team, it means a lot more when you're the top dog, because it means a lot more to the team that's playing you. And everybody's going to be up to play these guys. I mean, starting from the very first conference game, you know, all nine of them, you're going to get whatever the other team has. I really believe that. And so all those wins will be very significant, because they all add up, if they should all add up to the number you want when you get to November. That's going to be the challenge. That's going to be the excitement. And so he'll have an opportunity to get several signature wins. And if they should get to the Rose Bowl, then they would all be extremely important. And he'll go down as one of the greatest in program history.
For the Cougars, it's the guy who breaks the losing streak for the Utes. For the Utes, it's whoever quarterbacks that first conference title team.
And the opportunity certainly is there. And I think the opportunity is there for the Cougars, too. And for Wilson to be considered one of the great ones, he's got to find a way to get his team. Now, I recognize that half the time he's not even out on the field. But that's how we judge quarterbacks, like I said earlier. Kyler Murray's 57-3. Well, I mean, obviously at Oklahoma he had tons of talent, but nobody says they're running backs. They were 50, whatever they were, and you know, whatever their record was. Nobody knows that. It's the quarterback who gets to sign the record. Tom Brady has won 6 Super Bowls. Well, I have to go back and think about Gronkowski, but I don't have to think about Tom Brady. I know automatically, boom, I know exactly what it is. And all those Niners teams, when Montana was quarterbacking, they had a bunch of the same guys for a good number of years. But you don't associate Ronnie Lott, 4 Super Bowl victories, do you? But yet, Joe Montana, you certainly assign that number, right?
You know, it's funny, it's the same way in the NBA. I know Magic won 5 titles, but how many did Byron Scott win? And
okay.
That added up. I know he wasn't there for the first one. Actually, he wasn't there for 2, so he must have won 3.
All right.
But I got to do math. Where is the stars? It just, you know, how many did Ginobili and Parker have? Well, I know Duncan had 5.
Yeah, I got you.
I know Ginobili and Parker missed the first one. I think they were there for the second one, so I think they got 4, but I don't know.
Right. So fair or not, and I think it's more fair in basketball to assign that number number of significance than it is the QBs, but nevertheless, we still do that. Marino didn't have any, so he's in the category, if you're going to equate it to basketball, to, you know, Nash, the statues, Ewing, those types of great players who never won the title at the end of the season, even though they were Hall of Famers and great players in their own rights, and they're undeniably great players and undeniably Hall of Famers. We still know that. That's why I think it's Wilson has got to get one, at least one. You can't go down as some of the greatest to play at your school unless you've got them.
He's the greatest, although he was 0-4 against the Utes.
Yeah.
It was a different era. Well, it was a different era.
I mean, it is, but still.
But he's still 0-4 against the Utes.
Yeah. You can't go 0-4. And there's very few people who are going to get the opportunity. If it plays out, he could actually set the record for most losses against Utah. Right?
Great.
Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah. Obviously, he doesn't want that. Fair or not, it doesn't matter. And he was fortunate enough to start as a freshman.
So did Taysom Hill end up 0-3 against NC Utes?
He had those injuries, so, you know, I'd have to go back and check.
And he was there when they didn't play him. Which, that one turns
season?
Out, he was hurt. He played 4 games. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
2014.
With his injury factor. I think if he had beaten Utah, if he had gotten that 2-point conversion, I think his status would have been elevated.
But he didn't.
His status as an athlete is unparalleled, but as a quarterback. And so Wilson has this opportunity. This is a golden opportunity, man. Just right here before you, 7 days away. Your home park. Now, I recognize you're going up. At this point, I mean, it's only arguable, but arguably the best team Utah's ever had.
Arguably.
Right. We'll get to the end of the season. Maybe there'll still be arguably, but if they go 12-0, it's not arguably.
No. Then it'll be
definitively
listed above the Sugar Bowl team, which right now sits there as the best team.
Most definitely. Yeah, absolutely. I think so. If they did that.
Taysom was 0-2.
Yeah. That's a blemish. I think Wilson's going to get one. I can't tell you which one. I think most likely we would say next year.
That seems to be logical because they'll be playing early in the year again. Actually, I think it's an opener next year. And the Utes will be breaking a new quarterback. Now, maybe it'll be somebody who has some games under the belt. Obviously, Shelley already does, and we'll have to see how this season plays out.
Yeah, in a way, the grad transfer deals work around. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
You really don't.
Yeah. So what you have today, at this time last year, they had a future NFL MVP quarterback on their roster who's now on Indiana's roster. Who would have predicted that?
Who will win a Super Bowl for the Atlanta Falcons?
I don't know about that.
Probably not.
I don't even know if that kid is – did he get his eligibility, Yock? Do you know, Tuttle?
He did, but he's in a battle for that QB
job.
Would
ought to be narrowing down here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'll check.
I don't know who Indiana squares off against, but I assume they're playing next week.
It's almost here for everybody, so yeah. It might as well be almost here for them.
Right. And I'll kind of watch that from afar.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it.
Just to see.
Ball State, 10 a.m. CBS Sports Network. You can watch every snap if he's the guy.
Next Saturday?
Saturday, August 31.
A week from Saturday?
Saturday, August 31. A Saturday that you'll have fairly wide open because the Utes and Cougars play on Thursday and the Aggies play on Friday. So you won't have any local games you have to watch to keep up. You'll have
those for three. Sure. Yeah.
We'll have those three.
I'll just
in the bag.
Be cherry-picking games.
You'll be cherry-picking Pac-12 games mostly, or Pac-12 teams. It won't be conference games. But
okay, so the latest, this is yesterday, the quarterback battle's still ongoing. Peyton Ramsey is a junior quarterback, so the incumbent that Jack Tuttle's battling. According to Tom Allen, their head coach, the edge is Ramsey's right now, but it's not done yet. And they're coming down to the wire, though.
And I wouldn't necessarily put it on Tuttle as a failure if he's not named the starter for the first game.
Yeah, that can change real quick.
Because we saw with Wilson, he was not named the starter for the first game. And I always felt all along that they were going to do what they did, particularly since they told me.
You could have figured it out without being told. It wasn't too hard to figure out.
They were going to, at some point, he was going to get playing time. He had to get playing time because they didn't want to go into this season without somebody having playing time. And he clearly was the guy, so he was going to get some time. I didn't necessarily know he was going to start game six and have the starting job for the whole season. But he was going to play. He was not going to redshirt, that's for sure. And they did the right thing because now I think he's ready to go. I'm super excited about his opportunity to see how good he can be. And maybe he can end up being great. For me, that's when I look at one of the things, one of the storylines, it's this kid and how good he can be.
DJ and PK, it's 97.5 at 1280 The Zone.
And now, attention. Top of the Wire on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Pac-12 has decided against 9 a.m. Pacific time kickoffs this season, but is open to revisiting the idea in the future. Andrew Walker, Pac-12 Vice President for Public Affairs, says there's interest from Fox, there's interest from some of our schools, but we need more time to plan properly. University of Utah basketball team reserved a verbal commitment from Wasatch Academy top 100 national prospect Caleb Lawner yesterday as part of the 2020 recruiting class. Major League Baseball, Max Muncy, a walk-off solo homer in the 10th as the Dodgers beat the Blue Jays 2-1. Bryce Harper is 27th homer as the Phillies beat the Red Sox 5-2. Orioles tie a Major League Baseball record, giving up their 258th home run of the year. They won the game. They beat the Royals 8-1. Bees rained out in Tacoma. They play in Reno tonight, 8 o'clock. Listen to the game on the Zone Sports Network. Top of the Wire brought to you by Diamond Airport Parking. Fantastic rates, free car washes, 24/7 shuttle services, detail, oil changes, and glass repair while you're away. Diamond Airport with the best rewards program in Utah. It's the only airport valet service in Utah. Park, ride, and save just off I-80 and Redwood Road. That's Diamond Airport Parking.
3, 2, 1. The countdown is back on the Zone Sports Network. It's the 5th annual College Football Top 60 and 60. As we count you down to the start of the college football season, listen every day at 1:30 as Hans and Scotty will announce another selection.
I see you, one, five.
Leading up to the start of the 2019 season, as voted on by the local media and you, the fans, it's the Top 60 and 60. Yay! Presented by Cypress Credit Union, the Southtown Auto Mall, and Master Electrical Service on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Fly ball to deep right center field. It is on its way, and Muncy has walked it off.
I think that, 11 times we've done it this year. So there's an expectation for us, and who it's going to be, that is always the question.
Dodgers win on a walk-off. Max Muncy, 10th inning, solo shot to beat the Blue Jays 2-1. A day after they'd scored 16 runs, they only scored two.
That's all they needed.
Seems to happen a lot, but it is all they needed.
So if your starting pitcher and you're going tomorrow, do you want your team's starting pitcher to get lit up today?
Oh, yeah, you wonder how much starters think about that. Like, oh, man, we're scoring 16 runs today. I'm so screwed tomorrow.
No, but you want your team, your starting pitcher, to get lit, because then when you go against that team tomorrow.
Oh, I get it the other way.
Yeah.
You know, I really like you, Bob, and I love golfing on an off day, but if you gave up 18 runs today, it wouldn't break my heart.
Right. Because the law of averages is going to kick in.
That's true.
And those balls that drop are going to be caught the next day. So you want, if you're starting on Saturday, you want your team's starting pitcher on Friday to get lit up.
I don't know how you find the negative in everything, but you do it. Good work. Man, I hope my team gets lit up today.
How's that negative? That's great for you. You're going out there limiting few runs.
Bad for the team.
Regardless, you're looking to make money for yourself, man. The team, that's the man. That's Dave Robertson's problem, not yours.
So I didn't see Twitter last night. Did Larry the Laker lose his mind over the Dodger bullpen and the cheapness
of the
ownership?
I did see it this morning, yes,
did,
that they had many chances to get a closer, and they didn't, and now they're going to pay for it dearly, which is going to be an issue. It's like, it's what I was saying with the BYU theory that if they get smoked in the first game, it's going to be an oh no. So if Kershaw comes out in the postseason in the first game and gives up four runs, it's like, oh no,
here we go again.
So it's the same thing with BYU. There's a lot of optimism here offensively, right, for this team. Well, if they come out and get hammered, it's like, oh, here we go again. It's going to be such a letdown because there's certain issues that you have to prove. If Hundley is slow getting up from a sack.
Uh-oh! How's his shoulder?
Yes! Everybody's got these issues, and they linger until you answer them. And it just, you have to eventually answer them. And every time Hundley, it doesn't pop right up, or he limps back a little bit. Say he's got a like a little minor cramp, and he runs and he gets out of bounds, and there's some, you can see it in his leg. It's a little stiff. People, all you fans are going to go, oh no, is he hurt again? Right? They did it with Chase Hansen because he had a lot of injuries too, and he was a great player.
Taysom Hill did all the way watching
here we
him
go
through his career.
Yeah. So there's those things that go on and on. And if Utah's offense should look a little crappy, there might be some consternation.
Oh, yeah. If there's a game where they only complete 50% of their passes.
Talking like game one. Because game two and three, it's not going to matter as much. I mean, I don't know that.
If they struggle against Northern Illinois again, it'll be remember
to a degree. But
Illinois
I just,
year,
I wonder how much intensity they're going to have in those games. You can't be at a fever pitch all the time. Now it's the first home game, so you should have some. And
if it's close for a while, you should crank it up and blow it open. It's not a big deal if you don't have a big first quarter. But if there's 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter and it's a one score game, it's a problem.
Maybe.
If they score twice late and win by 21.
I still think they're going to lack some intensity in that game. Because you got this huge game one, because of the rivalry game. And you got this huge game four. So, can you spin it to these guys? We got these huge games in two and three. Well, no, you don't.
No, you should just, on talent, be able to beat them.
Well, they will. But they might not look great. I don't care
look
about
good
that early stuff.
Look good, don't look great, but don't look bad while winning. I get you can't look great. You can't win by five touchdowns every week, blow people off, and just blow people off the field and just look great.
Uh-huh. I got you.
But Northern Illinois should look like they're overmatched.
I actually think for Utah's sake, it might be better if they just don't roll.
Don't sail through the first three games untouched and get to USC thinking,
we're
all that.
Yeah.
I'm dancing in my seat right now.
No,
yeah.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, right. And maybe have a little bit of a struggle against BYU.
I can totally
buy
that. Yeah. Mix in a struggle in one of the games so you have a little bit of an edge.
Right, right.
I'm
not
going to
have an edge against an edge. Was it Idaho State? Forget that.
Right. I wish they'd stop playing those games.
Me too.
I know why they do. It gives them an extra home game, and it gives them extra money, and they don't have to do the road game. So I get why
I'm
they're
going
doing
out
it,
of town. I'm not even going to worry about that game.
That a kid hit the road.
Who's BYU play that week? SC.
Week three, USC.
I know where I'm going to be that day.
Out of town.
No, I'm going to be at okay, gotcha.
All right. Out of Salt Lake. Goodbye, Salt Lake County. Hello, Utah County.
I'm going to be down at the Ed for sure that day.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. I'm not going to – that nonsense up here, two words. No, thank you. So I would actually – it might work to their advantage to have some form of – build up rather than just click on everything right off the bat and give the coaches something to hammer them about. So the idea is however good they play against the Cougars, the idea in my mind is to be better than you were against SC. Because that game has all sorts of ramifications for both teams, man. I don't want to say the Utes are going to come into that game desperate, but they're going to be desperate for a win, a desperate for to win down there on the road, get yourselves off on the right start. You're the overwhelming favorite. And then obviously SC. I mean, they got all sorts of desperation.
We were just talking in the last segment about Tuttle transferring out of Utah and going to Indiana. Is he going to win the job? Right now it looks like he's behind and he won't, but it's early in the season. He may still play a lot before it's all said and
done.
He's
just a freshman.
And we were discussing, and you were saying, I might watch that game. You know, channel surf between several games. During the break, we looked and said, there is nothing to channel surf for that first Saturday morning of college football. That 10 a.m. slot, there is nothing interesting there with the possible exception of Tuttle playing. But late at night, you're definitely in front of the TV. Fresno State at USC.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I already know
right,
that. Yeah.
Right out of the gate.
Absolutely.
How good is USC? What are they going to be doing? Which direction is this club headed?
And particularly, I think, having been in the Coliseum and seen this and witnessed this myself, if they struggle, that crowd's going to turn on them.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because SC fans...
Their patience is out. They went 5-7 last year.
No, they're zero.
They're going to be sitting there with the arms folded. Entertain me.
Yeah.
Win.
Well, they demand it.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a brand new stadium, essentially, the whole refurbishment project.
Yeah, they reduced the, I think it's like 77,000.
77,000 now.
And so it's going to be a big thing. And, you know, Harold's coming in, the air raid, blah, 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 expecting all this. Daniel's second go around as a starter, yada yada, great receivers. So yes, I'm that absolutely Saturday night. A lot of times in the summer I go disco dancing on Saturday nights, but not this Saturday night.
Okay, thanks for that,
because I got action. I got so much to give. I love to boogie. I love the nightlife on the disco.
We really need a football game. I don't have words for how badly we need a football game.
Are we still
game.
A week away?
We are still a week away. We did the countdown earlier in the show. We're 7 days out.
Didn't back in the day you get a polyester and go disco dancing? Come on, Sniggs.
No. As far as you know.
Yeah, I think you can bust a move.
Or three.
Yeah, easily. I wouldn't mind the four of us going dancing one night.
I would. I'll do dinner, a movie, dancing.
Why not?
The Kennans and James is out line dancing. Come on down. PK converted me. I'm all country all the time.
I like to think of you as an urban cowboy.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure that would help the show a lot if I took another one for the team. All right. That's a lot of what we've been talking about here today. 7 days till the first college football game for the Utes and the Cougars. We actually have two games this weekend. Going to settle down in front of Arizona and Hawaii?
You know, that's on the CBS Sports Network, and I'm going to be out of town, and I have to find a place that has CBS Sports Network. If I were home, the answer would be yes, but I won't be, so I was already thinking about that. I may have to go to a Wild Wings or type situation that has that. I'll actually be in that state, so I definitely want to watch that game, yes.
And by that state, you mean Arizona, not Hawaii. The game's in Hawaii.
If I was in Hawaii, I wouldn't give a crap about the game.
That's what I thought. Now you're making sense. You know what the point spread is for that thing?
I would say 10-ish for the
Arizona by 11.5. Arizona by 11.5 on the road in Hawaii. Yeah. And Miami's at Florida on ESPN at 5. So you got a little college football doubleheader. All right, DJ and PK, it's 97.5 at 1280 The Zone. We are brought to you in part by Larry H. Miller, Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Sandy. Find your deals online at LHMDeals.com. Your feedback next.
And it's all over almost here.
Don't go nowhere.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
It's what you want.
Brett McMurphy from the Stadium Networks.
I did see the quote in one of your most recent pieces about the AP Top 25 saying you'd take Utah as a potential dark horse to fit into that Final Four.
My first AP poll is who I think going into the season the best 25 teams are. This is not a projection on how I see the season ending. Next month I'll start in on my bowl projections and I'll do those every week. Those are how I project the season to end. People have asked me, you know, who's your dark horse? Because every year of the playoff, we've had a team that wasn't in the preseason top 10 make it to the college football playoff. And yeah, Utah would certainly be my pick. And it sounds funny to say Utah's a dark horse when they're the favorite to win the league. But that's kind of where the Pac-12 is right now.
Catch Hans and Scotty every day from noon to 3. Presented by your Rocky Mountain Chevy dealers on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
In all honesty, this is the absolute truth, that you two guys changed the way journalism is done in this market. So I can't claim that as my legacy, but in a way I will.
These U fans with their goatees thinking they're too good for BYU again and talking about canceling the game. Gordon Monson's right. The game's been played for over 100 years and needs to be played every year. They need a kick in the pants.
Talking like that for?
I don't know.
They played for 100 years. They need to play every year.
2026, circle it, PK.
I'm not going to worry about that now. We're in 2019.
The Utes already have Houston and Arkansas on the schedule. I'll be surprised if they play a Houston-Arkansas-BYU preseason. And Mark Harlan's already floated the, well, you know, if there's a time where we can't play for a year in the future. I remember he said that. Well, wouldn't it be two while you plug two teams in? No, it'd be one. He's looking at 2026.
I can live with a year off.
He said he'd talk to Tom when the time came. So I suppose he's already talked to Tom because the time's coming.
Well, in terms of scheduling it, yeah.
Yeah. They're scheduled through 2024.
Didn't Tom say he had a game in the 30s?
He did. He did. Which he's not too worried about because, you know, he's not going to be there to answer for that.
Well, yeah. Well,
but you have to schedule because that's how far that's everybody else job. Is scheduling yeah. out. And if you don't schedule, then you're left with no
And games. We know what Kyle said when I asked him, hey, man, you excited about going to Arkansas in 2026 or whatever
he's
it was?
Not going to 28? Arkansas. He's not going to be here for that.
Yeah, and he just said, I'll be golfing somewhere. He said I'll be golfing in Maui.
Yeah. 2030, Tom has scheduled North Carolina State and Virginia Tech. So put it on your calendars, kids. 2030, you're all booked up on August 29th.
So 11 years from now?
11 years from now. They got two games scheduled out there.
Well, that's part of the job. You've got to do that.
He's really got it locked down for the next 4 years, and then there's a little wiggle room when you get out further. Of course, Tom's different than everybody else because everybody else has 8 or 9 conference games done for him, and he's doing 12.
And hopefully for their sakes, at that point, they do too. The right conference.
Right. All right, DJ and PK, your feedback, stuff you're saying about today's show. let's see. We asked, is Zach Wilson going to beat Utah while he is there?
My prediction is yes.
I believe the odds are he will as well.
Can't
you
tell
think
the
it's
year.
Guaranteeing it.
I'm going to go. You got to have fun with it, yeah. Okay. You don't want to waffle. Too much waffling in this world. Go ahead and guarantee it.
Even if you don't mean it. Then that led to questions about, well, if you're a Utah fan, I mean, of course you want to win the game, but you offered up, would you lose the game if you knew it automatically guaranteed a win over USC?
Well, beating SC is bigger than beating BYU.
Darren, I would trade a BYU loss for an SC win. Pac-12 games are more important.
They are.
So Darren is right in there, right on board.
And all conference games, especially this year when you have a legitimate chance to win it, they're more important. That's just the way it is, yes.
All right, Tony and Austin are in here. They're chomping at the bit. They're next on 97.5 at 1280 The Zone.